Hey, listeners, a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast is now the Not Crazy Podcast. Same feed, different name. Hosted by Gabe Howard and Jackie Zimmerman. Search for Not Crazy or visit us at psychcentral.com/notcrazy. In the meantime, enjoy this legacy episode of BSP, and we hope you'll check out the new Not Crazy Podcast.
For reasons that utterly escape everyone involved, you're listening to a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast. Here are your hosts, Gabe Howard and Michelle Hammer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast. My name is Gabe, and I live with bipolar.
Hi, I'm Michelle Hammer, and I have schizophrenia.
You're always so polite. You're like, hi. I'm like, hey, you're listening to a show. This is my name. Deal with it. And you're like, hi, everyone. My name's Michelle.
I want everyone to think that I'm, like, really sweet and nice and, like, you know, everybody just thinks I'm a nice lady. I'm a lady, you know? I'm a lady here.
You are lying to our public. I think that is not cool. This show is about vulnerability and authenticity. You're a mean, mean woman.
I've never been mean to anybody. I don't know what you're talking about. But, Gabe, what are we talking about today?
But first, before we get started on the very, very cool podcast that we have in front of you.
Yeah, it's cool. When Gabe says cool, it's cool.
Stop interrupting me.
Don't be, like, uncool. Do you even know that?
Yeah, don't be uncool.
He doesn't even know the reference.
I'm a 40-year-old white guy that lives in Ohio. When I say it's cool, you know you're in for a real treat.
Yeah, he's also Santa sometimes.
I do. I just like
okay,
Santa.
Okay, move on.
We want to invite all of our listeners to participate in a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast by doing a really cool project that you can do at home. It's very, very simple.
Very simple. Even a caveman could do it.
It's so simple, even a caveman could do it. It's actually so simple, a mentally ill person can do it.
Oh.
Which is both stigmatizing, but true.
But true.
All you have to do is pull out your phone, your desktop, or your computer and record yourself telling your mental illness story. There are a few rules. Try to keep it under 3 minutes. You have to allow us to edit it. It has to be an MP3 file. And then just send it to us at show@psychcentral.com. And you may find your voice on an upcoming episode of
A Bipolar, A Schizophrenic, and A Podcast.
This could be the thing that launches you into superstardom.
That's right.
That's how you got started, Michelle. You just like sent like a weird email to a guy. Next thing you know, you've got your own podcast.
Yeah, I sent you an email. You friended me on Facebook first, so shut up.
I friend all pretty people on Facebook. Like if you go through my friends list, they're just nothing but pretty women.
Okay, what are we talking about today, Gabe?
Today we're talking about mental illness may be an explanation, but it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse.
And we're gonna segue, after we talk about that for a moment, we're gonna segue into apologizing for the things that you did, you personally, Michelle.
Hey.
While symptomatic.
Okay.
You have an example of this. We're social media creatures. And we see things on social media from, believe it or not, mental health advocates, where they use their mental illness to justify...
To just justify their actions.
Bad behavior, poor behavior.
Just bad behavior. And if you're ever insulted, just say it wasn't my fault. It was my anxiety and they couldn't handle it.
So for example, if I say, Michelle, you're an asshole and I hate you. And you become offended. Tell me that you're offended.
I'm very offended by that.
The right thing to do would be for me to say, you know, listen, I shouldn't have called you an asshole. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. But here's what I'm going to do. Oh, it's not my fault. I have bipolar disorder. I have racing thoughts. And that's why I called you an asshole.
Well, and also it's more like you're not taking responsibility.
Oh, I'm taking no responsibility.
It's just the bipolar's fault.
Right. Bipolar disorder, didn't you know, was a complete get out of jail free card. Yeah, anything that I do...
It's always an excuse.
So people hear me talk about my family on this show a lot. When I was first diagnosed with bipolar disorder, I was really angry at the world. But specifically, I was angry at my parents because I felt like they didn't do anything to protect me from this. And I was pretty livid at them, actually, because I felt like they should have known. I felt like they should have gotten me help. I was still in the mindset at 25 years old that parents were supposed to protect you from all problems and that parents were perfect. And I was so sick for so long, and I was so angry at all of the things that they did to me while I was sick. When we found out that I was sick, my parents started to reflect back on some of those things. And, you know, listen, they were punishing me because they thought it was behavioral. I'm positive of this. It was behavioral in their minds, and they were they wanted me to go to school. They wanted me to get good grades. They wanted me not to be an asshole. But when they realized that I was sick, my dad said one day that he was sorry that he punished me because he didn't know that that's what I was going through. This was like a big moment in my life because he admitted that he didn't know that I was sick. So therefore, all he was trying to do was raise a quality person, but he still apologized because he realized that it was a mistake.
That's so lovely that your father apologized to you for all the things that he did to you when it wasn't your fault. What a lovely thing for your father to do to you.
You sound so sarcastic right now. Like you just...
No. I'm just lovely. No, I'm just... Oh, that would be so nice if somebody could apologize for the things that they did to you when you had no control over what was going on. Don't you think that would be nice if somebody would apologize?
Yes, but the flip side to that is then I realized that there was a lot of really awful shit that I did to my parents. It's true that I was sick. You know, I'd been up for days at a time. I was manic. I had yelled at them. I was an asshole child because I was an untreated bipolar. But then I thought to myself, you know, my parents are sorry for the way they treated me when I was symptomatic. So maybe I should be sorry for the way that I treated them when I was symptomatic and not just rest on this whole, oh, it's okay to treat people poorly because I'm sick garbage. Yeah, so I had to apologize to my parents. Listen, I did a half-assed job. I hope that my parents know that I am sorry that I was a difficult child to raise. And I hope they know that the explanation is I was very sick. I wasn't like maliciously trying to make their lives hell. But make no mistake, raising a mentally ill child is awful. Doesn't your mom think that raising a mentally ill child is awful?
Yeah, well, no, I know like 2 years ago or something, I had stayed over at my parents' place, but I stayed over like one night too many without my medication. I stayed up all night, couldn't sleep at all. In the morning, I thought we were driving back to Queens, but we took a detour to my cousin's house. And when we made that turn, I start going, where are we going? What are we doing? No, I need to go to my apartment and take my medicine. Where are we going? No, 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 blah, blah, blah. And my brother's in the car and he's yelling at me, you should have brought your medicine with you. And I'm like, I don't have, well, I mean, but I'm just saying, I was yelling like a maniac, and we get to my cousin's, and I'm just sitting on the couch thinking I'm gonna explode because I'm off my meds so bad. But we finally got back there. I went to my apartment, my parents went with my brother, and then when I met up with them, I said, hello, how are you? I apologized for my actions before. And my mom said to me, thank you, we just wanted to see if you would apologize.
And whose fault is it that you were unmedicated?
Ugh. I didn't know I was staying that extra night.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, just it is your fault. It's not your parents' fault that you stayed an extra night. It was poor planning on Michelle Hammer's fault.
I know.
But often, we take this poor planning out on other people.
Yes. But I really thought we were going back to Astoria. I did not know we were taking a detour.
That's true. You did not. Here's the reason that I harp on this so much. And I think this is the reason that you harp on this so much, too. People that don't take responsibility for their mental illness are not very empowered. I want to be treated like a real person. And if I'm saying, oh no, my actions are because of my mental illness and I will not be responsible for them, then I can't get mad when society says, hey, look, you're uncontrollable. We don't know that we want you to have a job in our place. You have already said that you can't be responsible for your own illness. We don't want to be responsible for your illness. Therefore, no jobs are available for you.
I know.
And that's the subtle message that we're sending when we refuse to take responsibility for our actions when we're symptomatic. We're saying that we are not in charge of our own illness.
Right. I mean, maybe you just have to find the job that works for you with your illness, perhaps.
Or maybe the reason that you didn't get the job is not because you have anxiety.
maybe it's not because you have anxiety, because do they even know that you have anxiety?
It's really easy to fall into that trap. You know, we had a conversation, Michelle, very early on in the show, where I said that it was very difficult not knowing if the reason that I didn't get the job was because I was mentally ill or because I just wasn't the best candidate. You quipped, this is what it's like to be a woman. Did you not get the job because, you know,
yes,
there's misogyny or yes, discrimination against females, or because you weren't qualified? But listen, maybe the reason that you didn't get the job is because of mental illness, but maybe it's not. And unless you have conclusive proof, don't put it out in the world. Apply for another job.
That's true. That's true.
This is really hard because I do think that people with mental illness are discriminated against a lot.
So, I mean, it's hard to say don't put lame everything on your illness, and then we're kind of discriminating against people that blame everything on their illness, and you have to say that you have an illness. I mean, I'm all bejumbled right now, but it's just like, know what part of your life is your illness, know what part of your life is not your illness, and don't, I mean, I'm schizophrenic, but not my whole life is not controlled by schizophrenia. I mean, yes, I take my medicine, but that makes my schizophrenia be put in a box and put in the closet, and then I lead my life, you know? I don't let it control my whole day.
PsychCentral.com is the internet's largest and oldest independent mental health online resource. Since 1995, our completely free, award-winning website has been run by mental health professionals offering reliable, trusted information, as well as over 250 support groups to people living with mental illness. From professional articles to personal stories, PsychCentral.com is worth your time checking out and is the generous sponsor of this podcast.
If every time something goes bad, you blame it on schizophrenia, do you believe that you are giving schizophrenia more power or less power?
Oh, way more power. Way more power.
Because it's controlling you. You're letting it control you.
Right. I would like to be in control of my own self.
I wish this were a video podcast right now, because the look on your face is just like, what the hell? Why would I give schizophrenia control of my life like this? But we don't realize that when we blame all of the negative parts of our life on mental illness, we're giving our mental illness so much control and credit and power.
And then if you put it on the internet,
oh my God, then you're just inviting people.
I know.
Yeah.
I just can't even understand it. It baffles my mind. Like, I lost my job because I'm schizophrenic. What? No. I mean, did you ever see me put that on Facebook? I was fired today because of my schizophrenia. But my boss didn't know. Nobody knew. Nobody maybe ever knew. But I know it was because of my schizophrenia. Like, I mean, what?
It's also not productive. I mean, even if it's true,
It doesn't fight a stigma. It doesn't fight a stigma at all.
How much? Okay, so we're now like 10 minutes into the podcast. Like, how many people are pissed off at us right now? Like, how many people are sitting at home like, what the hell are these idiots saying? No. Having mental illness means I can say and do whatever I want without consequences. Like, somebody...
That's called a manic episode.
You know as well as I do, somebody is halfway through an email that is going to ruin our day.
I know. Oh my God.
Dear Gabe and You're Michelle, so... you are assholes. We know it. And then when we say, why are you calling us names? They'll be like, bipolar.
Bipolar, schizophrenic.
I'm a bipolar.
Did I ever tell you about the woman at the market that accused me of not having schizophrenia, this woman?
You've said it on this podcast. You've told the story on this show.
Wait, but it's even funnier because she called me paranoid and delusional. And then said I wasn't schizophrenic. And I'm like, you realize you're calling me paranoid and delusional, and you're saying I'm not a schizophrenic right now? And she looks at me and goes, oh.
You've just named two symptoms of the disorder that you say that I don't have.
I'm just saying, like, I never used schizophrenia as an excuse in that entire situation. The whole fight with I got in with that woman, it was just like personality based that she thought I was like too loud and wonky. But I never said, it's my schizophrenia. It's my schizophrenia. That's why I can't control myself. It was like, no, because I was drinking 4 coffees a day running around like a moron. And I was like, sorry, I'll stop acting so hyper. I know she doesn't like me that much, but you told me not to talk to her, so I don't talk to her. And then, you know, all of a sudden we're in a big fight and she's yelling that I'm not schizophrenic and I'm making money off and disease I don't have.
I love the part where you punched the microphone. Like, that was my favorite. You're flailing so much, you just like right hooked the microphone. Just I think this woman might need a restraining order against you. Okay, Michelle, hang on. Time out. Let's bring it down a notch. What about, now sincerely, speak on this for a moment. It was truly a symptom of bipolar schizophrenia, of mental illness. It's not conjecture. You know for a fact that you did something wrong while truly symptomatic. 100% you were symptomatic and you hurt another person while symptomatic because of a legitimate mental illness. Do we have to apologize for that? If we do something wrong when we are symptomatic from a mental illness, do we owe that person an apology?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, hang on. Now, a lot of people are going to be like, what? It's not my fault. I'm sick. So now let me ask you this question. If you are driving your car and you have a seizure and you run it into the back of somebody else's car, do you have to pay for the damage?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now, wait a minute. Why? Why do you have to pay for the damage? It's not your fault. You were having a seizure.
You were driving the car.
Well, but it's not your fault. You were having a seizure.
Where's your medicine?
It doesn't matter. You were having a seizure. You wrecked somebody's car, so you don't have to pay for it, right?
No, you do have to pay for it.
Okay, so now wait a minute. So if you're mentally ill and you're symptomatic and you hurt somebody, and by hurt, I mean like hurt their feelings, break something, say the wrong thing, cause them emotional pain, should you make amends for that even though it was mental illness?
I mean, if you want to maintain a relationship with them, yes. If they deserve an apology, then yes. If you feel what you did was actually very wrong, then yes. If you think
exactly.
That what you did was right, then, you know. I mean, once you're actually back to, you know, a stable condition and you can look at the situation clearly, if you see what you did was wrong, then you should apologize. If you think what you did was actually valid, then, you know, whatever, get rid of them.
Well, sure. People with mental illness have so many explanations for things. We do. And I'm one of these people. I wanted to talk about this because when I was first diagnosed, I didn't want to apologize to anybody. I didn't want to apologize to my ex-wife. That woman was married to a man with untreated bipolar disorder. Do you know how awful I was as a person to her? She lived with an untreated bipolar. I owe her more apologies.
I can't even stand you when you're treated.
You're an asshole. I owe her more apologies than a lifetime can fill. The explanation for my behavior was that I had bipolar disorder, but nobody deserves to be treated that way. Nobody deserves to be called names. Nobody deserves to be cheated on. Nobody deserves to be lied to. It doesn't matter that I can say, listen, it was mania, it was depression, it was hypersexuality. It doesn't matter. I was wrong and I wronged her. And I'm sorry. But listen, that eluded me for years. For years, I thought that she was just an asshole for leaving. Because I was sick. How could she leave me when I was sick? It's till death do us part, in sickness and in health, I got sick and she took off. See, I tried to blame my actions on her.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. And someday I hope she forgives me.
She'll forgive you.
So far,
you.
Not so
She'll
much.
She'll forgive
no.
you.
No, no, not yet.
She'll
not
forgive ya.
We're not there. We're not there. Do you have anybody in your life like that that you owe an apology to that you're just too stubborn to do it?
I mean, not too stubborn. I mean, there was just my lacrosse coach in college. Like, when I had to take that medication 3 times a day, if I would skip it, I'd be so mad. I would take things out on her. I would go to practice. I would, like say ridiculous things. I would always get yelled at. I would run miles of laps around the track, just getting in trouble. And it became a thing where she would say to me, like, it was always like, did you take your meds? Where it became a thing like, what am I going to ask you right now? She could tell in 1 minute if I had taken my medication or not. It was basically, when I didn't, I was so just not acting good, like just getting in trouble, acting out like a just unmedicated schizophrenic person would do, just taking out a bunch of nonsense on her. So, I mean, I have apologized to her for a lot of the things I did. But, I mean, like I've said before, my senior year, I was like, okay, I'm just going to take this medication 3 times a day. And I did. And January comes around. Hello, do you want to be captain?
Were you captain?
Yes, I was.
Are you telling me that your coach put a schizophrenic in charge of the team?
I was a great captain. If I do say so myself.
That is both very progressive and entirely frightening.
Well, I was not diagnosed with schizophrenia at the time. I was just that I don't think I ever told her, but I really did have it. I'm pretty sure she thought I was schizophrenic. She probably knew.
I mean, I can tell just by talking to you for about 30 seconds that something is very deeply wrong in your brain.
Well, no, you can't.
I mean, kinda.
No.
Say something like really professionally articulate.
Professionally articulate? Like, give me a genre about something.
Fine art.
Fine art? I mean, you could talk about Chuck Close. If you do know Chuck Close, he was this great portrait painter who suffered a really bad debilitating stroke. So then he started painting with his paintbrush in his mouth, and he started just drawing circles and circles, and they were still really awesome portraits that looked like the actual people, but he seriously was confined to a wheelchair and painted with a paintbrush in his mouth. It was amazing. And I went to the Whitney Museum when Trump was elected. People were very sad, so all of the museums let people in for free. So I went to the Whitney, and there was a huge Chuck Close piece of artwork, and I was loving it. It was amazing, and people were walking by it like it was nothing, but I was amazed that I was standing in front of a Chuck Close piece of artwork. How was that, Gabe?
You know what I love about that story?
What?
And I sincerely love that story. Here's a guy that if somebody walked up to him and said, "Why aren't you a painter?"
Mm-hmm.
He could have said, "Because I'm paralyzed in a wheelchair," and nobody would have batted an eye.
Yeah.
But instead, he put a paintbrush in his mouth, and he painted.
Oh my God, he's amazing.
This is what I want for people with mental illness. This is what I want for every single person diagnosed with bipolar, schizophrenia, psychosis, OCD, anxiety, major depression, just everything. I want them to say, I know that I have a reason not to, but I want them to find a reason to do it. And I want them to make up with the people around them, because all the people that most of us owe apologies to are not strangers on the internet. Mm-hmm. They're our families. And even though our families are a pain in the ass.
I don't know what that means.
We only have the one. Your mom listens. Your beautiful, caring, loving mother that's never done anything wrong. Once again, I wish this was a video podcast, because the look on your face is phenomenal.
It's so hot right now.
Michelle, take us home. Any final words of growth or wisdom for all the people living with mental illness that don't want to take responsibility for their actions?
Be you. Be yourself. Live your life. Love your life. Don't always make an excuse for everything, even if you might have one.
Thanks, everybody, for listening in. And don't forget to send your under 3-minute MP3 file telling your personal mental health story, and you too could end up on a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast. We will see you all next week.
Apologize!
You've been listening to a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast. If you love this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Head over to iTunes or your preferred podcast app to subscribe, rate, and review. To work with Gabe, go to GabeHoward.com. To work with Michelle, go to schizophrenic.nyc. For free mental health resources and online support groups, head over to PsychCentral.com. The show's official website is PsychCentral.com/BSP. You can email us at show@PsychCentral.com. Thank you for listening, and share widely.